Chapter 29. Did I cheat? That depends on your definition of cheating. The important question is, did I do the right thing? Okay, I guess the definition of the right thing depends on whether you think what I did was good or not. You can't argue that I didn't do it for the right reason, because I did. Okay, yes, in the military, it is not the thought that counts. That's why we have rules and regulations. But that only matters if someone else can tell whether I adhered to or violated said rules and regulations. This, for sure, is a case where what people don't know can't hurt them. What did I do that would probably get me court-martialed? It's simple, really. I asked Skippy for a favor. A favor he was exceedingly happy to do, by the way, because there is nothing he enjoys better than screwing with people. Or, as a bonus, screwing with AIs. What I wanted was for him to infiltrate the databases of the Third Fleet's master AIs and manipulate the numbers so those AIs concluded the battle damage they had sustained was a bit worse than their initial analysis indicated. That's all I did. Really? After Admiral Zhao received that analysis, which, ironically, he requested Skippy to independently confirm, he rather reluctantly ordered the Third Fleet to fly directly back to Fob Geo Yuguan and requested Valkyrie to accompany them as far as the wormhole. We did. The instant the wormhole winked closed, I let out a breath I'd been holding since we jumped away from Earth the last time. Skippy, put that damned wormhole back to sleep. We've got work to do. Sure, Joe, but I know, we have battle damage also, and a list of deferred maintenance items you're worried about. I promise I will hand wash and wax the hull the instant the rotten kitties have their furry butts sitting at the negotiation table. 2 coats of wax, Joe? Okay, but can I phone it in and do a half-assed job on the second coat? I expect nothing better from you. Ugh, fine, let's go deliver another beat down to the kitties. I hope they've changed the litter boxes recently. They're going to need it. Our action to crash another wormhole network in Maxulk's territory was complicated, but I'll skip over the details. We actually just faked crashing that network, which only 3 people aboard Valkyrie knew about. Me, Skippy, and Smythe. My new XO wasn't aware of the truth, since she didn't need to know. It wasn't a matter of me not trusting Strebik. The issue was that with every person who knew the ugly truth, the risk of our secret being revealed increased, and that was unacceptable. The very survival of humanity could very well depend on hostile aliens fearing we could shut down any wormhole network in the galaxy. 4 people knew, including Sims. Adding Strebik would increase the risk by 25% for no gain. No gain for humanity, and not for Irene either. She didn't need the burden of knowing how precarious our grip on survival was. Hell, I didn't want to know. So we did the thing. All the wormholes on that network disappeared at the same time, or it looked like they disappeared. Skippy diverted them to previously unused emergence points where no ships would be looking for them. He also added a touch of inspiration by instructing those wormholes to open their event horizons at minimum diameter at a low power setting. Unless someone knew what to look for, they would never detect that the missing wormholes had shifted to a new location. Once the target wormholes had been diverted, we flew to the other ends of the wormholes on that local network, and Skippy made them go dormant, before the network dutifully shifted the emergence points back to authorized locations on its schedule. After the network appeared to crash, we flew to a Theranan relay station as a low-risk way to get news of how the Maxulks were reacting to having part of their territory cut off from the rest of the galaxy. Also, to leave a message that came directly from UNEF Command. It was a strongly worded statement, clear, concise, professional, and warning the entire galaxy that they could suffer the same fate. The statement ended on a hopeful note, offering an olive branch of sorts to the Maxulks. They were responsible for the attack against Earth. We had retaliated in a proportionate fashion. That was all behind us now. Our governments, our societies, needed to move on. To move forward. Only by reaching an agreement for a stable relationship between Earth, the Maxulk's hegemony, and the Rindaloo could the 3 most powerful species assure mutual survival. I was betting the kitties would receive the message, be disgusted at the naive weakness of humans, and ignore all the happy, we should find a way to get along bullshit. If I had written the statement, it would also have been clear and concise. Something like, "Hey, assholes, You wondered whether we really could crash any wormhole network anytime, anywhere. We told you that if you fucked around, you would find out. Well, you fucked around, and you found out. Oh, your poor widow feelings got hurt, and you want to hit us again? Go ahead. Make my day. Okay, like I said, my message would be clear and concise. Maybe not professional, but the kiddies didn't respond to professional diplomacy. They do respond to getting hit in the face with a shovel. Repeatedly, until the message gets through their thick skulls. I'm okay with that. The first wormhole to go dormant started the clock. We had 7 days from that date until we needed to wake up the dormant wormholes. The question was, what should we do for that week of free time? A round-trip flight to Earth, or Jaguar, or even Ragnar would take too long. There were no empty habitable planets nearby to give the crew a break from breathing recycled air, and being in Max Ulk's territory, it was too risky to allow the crew to go far from the ship anyway. The same logic applied to Smythe's request to find an uninhabited red dwarf star system and use an asteroid field there for star team training. "What's up, Joe?" Skippy asked while I had my office chair in full recline position, staring blankly at the ceiling.
Nothing.
Tilting the chair back upright, I looked at him through a yawn. "Am I boring you, Joe?" He had his little hands on his hips, glaring at me.
"Sorry, no. This waiting, doing nothing sucks. We should ping a relay station again, see how the kiddies are reacting to the network crashing. It doesn't sound like you're enthused about that idea."
"I'm not. I want to be doing something useful, not watching what someone else does."
Well, I still have plenty of data on the location of Max Ulk's task forces. If you like, we could..."
"Whoa, no. Thank you, Skippy, but the last thing we should do is hit the kiddies again. It's not worth the risk for Valkyrie to conduct a strike by ourselves. And another attack wouldn't have any shock value at this point. The whole galaxy will be focused on the network we just crashed."
"Besides..."
I yawned again.
"Like you said,
the ultimate goal of this operation is diplomatic. Getting the kiddies to talk with us. It's not,
geez Louise, will you cut the blah 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 and let me talk? I wasn't suggesting we attack again. I wanted the ship to go into space dock for repairs. I sure as hell don't want you taking us on another joyride."
"It wasn't a joyride, you ass. You know what I mean. My suggestion, if you will shut up long enough for me to finish, is to go meet one of our biggest fans."
What?
"We can't go back to Earth, it's too..."
"Not Earth. I mean Captain Iliath, of the Max Ulk's hegemony cruiser Vortan. I know her ship's patrol area. With a single wormhole shortcut, we could be there in less than a day."
"Thanks, Skippy, but she'll have to get my autograph later."
"Why do you think we should meet her? She's just another..."
"Her ship is alone, Joe. It would be a low-risk encounter for us, even in Valkyrie's current condition. Iliath has been sort of exiled, because she was part of the task force at Earth when you revealed we had a critical mass of Elder weapons, and you made the big speech about mutual assured destruction. She wasn't in command of that task force, but the stink of that humiliation has stuck to her. She was also previously associated with an admiral who is a rival of Reichert, and as you know, Reichert has purged the general command of anyone who does not support him."
"Okay. It sounds like you think we should get involved in kiddie politics, and that is not..."
"I think that all the Max Ulks we've met so far are blindly fanatical assholes. This Iliath is different. She is able to think critically, with an open mind. It might be useful to get her perspective on the strategic situation and how likely it is the kiddie leadership will negotiate with Earth. If nothing else, Joe, I want to add her as a data point in my model of Max Ulk's psychology. That model has been, as you know, less than accurate so far."
"One day, huh? Where is her ship?" A star chart appeared in a hologram hovering over my desk. It was still weird to see that, a 3D image without any apparent mechanism for display. "Here," he said as light blinked. "In the middle of nowhere, 29 light years from any other hegemony ships." The star chart didn't mean anything to me. I could have asked him to zoom out with a handy arrow pointing to our location and one pointing to Earth for reference, but that also wouldn't provide any information that was actually useful to me. With wormholes connecting across vast distances, the critical question about star travel was not distance, but time. "Wow.
I noticed the only stars around Iliath's ship were red dwarfs, without even any refueling stations. Somebody really wanted her out of sight, and to punish her. For what? For being unlucky. She is in the middle of nowhere. Okay, I'll talk with Strebik and Smythe about this, but plot a course. True to his word, Skippy laid out a course that got us to the cruiser of Vortan's lonely position in less than a day. During the flight, I used the time to read what we knew about Captain Iliath. She was smart, that much was confirmed. Smart enough to be a threat, back when I feared she would figure out the secret that a group of humans were really flying the ghost ship that we framed the Bosphorok for. Enough of a threat that, as I remember, I once considered an operation to take her out, as in track her down and murder her. At that time, I was persuaded that targeting a relatively obscure Maxalt's officer would backfire on us by letting the kiddies know her crazy theories about the ghost ship might be true. That was a relief, actually. I wanted an excuse not to kill someone. Iliath hadn't done anything to us other than be exceptionally good at her job. Reading the file about her, I got the feeling that if she wasn't part of an asshole species who believed they had an innate right to rule the galaxy, she would be a damned good asset for humanity. We needed leaders who could see beyond the obvious, beyond what appeared to be the obvious, and ask questions. Sometimes uncomfortable questions, like, is what we supposedly know the truth? She had guts, that's for certain. While the entire hegemony military was focused on tracking down the rogue Bosphorok who controlled the ghost ship and killing innocent Bosphorok to punish the apparent offenders, she was off on her own, seeking the truth. Unfortunately for her, and she discovered that she was right about the ghost ship, only to immediately be told there were now three species in the galaxy who possessed an arsenal of elder weapons. At that point, her chain of command really didn't give a shit about the ghost ship, or the protests of the Bosphorok about being unfairly punished for something they didn't do. Anyway, we found her cruiser on its lonely vigil, pretty much where Skippy's intel said it should be. After waiting 2 hours to confirm our two ships were alone and accelerating to match speed and course with her ship, I ordered Valkyrie to jump in 20,000 kilometers away. Our damping field ensured that her cruiser wasn't going anywhere, but we didn't use active sensors to paint the Vortan for targeting. "This is General Bishop," I greeted her, my hands up in a peaceful gesture she very likely understood. "Captain Iliath, we just want to talk. Please don't make a futile gesture by shooting at us." She didn't reply right away. Her ship didn't shoot at us. I took that as a good sign. When her image appeared in the display, Skippy whispered in my earpiece, "Joe, the skin around her eyes is puffy. I think she just woke up." "General Bishop," her image looked at me. Her face looked normal to me. The puffiness must be a subtle difference. "You came all the way out here to talk?" "It's not a long flight for us," I shrugged, both stating the truth and bragging. My purpose was not to be a jerk, it was to remind her that we had capabilities beyond the reach of her people. To make the point that shooting at us would be not only dangerous but stupid. "May I ask how long have you been out here? We have news of recent events that you might not have heard." Her eyes narrowed slightly. I understood that without the helpful body language highlighter feature of the display. "Our last status update was 34 days, 7 hours. The translator stumbled, as either Skippy or Bilby remembered I didn't need a precise translation of alien time units. "Ago," she finished. I lifted one corner of my mouth in a smile to set her at ease, if that was possible. Waiting a beat for her own software to interpret my body language, I continued. "Your people goaded the Bosphorok into attacking Earth. We retaliated. Against your clients and your people. We bombarded 2 Bosphorok worlds because we felt we had to." I shrugged again. "Our main action was destroying 3 of the Maxalt's task forces that were waiting to ambush us. We ambushed them." She stared at me with an eerie calm, probably ordering her glands to pump her full of soothing hormones. "General Bishop, you are telling me that we hit you and you hit us back. Your actions didn't solve anything. Your people forced their clients to attack us to see if we would retaliate by crashing a wormhole network in Bosphorok territory. Her eyes widened that time. She too was wondering if we would actually take that extreme step. If we could do it. Did you?
No. She considered before speaking. I appreciated that she was taking our discussion seriously, that she didn't think it was a waste of her time.
My people want an answer. They will keep pushing you until they get...
They did get our answer. We just crashed a network in hegemony territory. I crooked a finger, and a star chart appeared in the display with star systems identified in Maxalk's standard script. Your people are responsible for the attack on our homeworld. Your people should pay the price. We won't let you hide behind your clients. She sucked in a breath. Just a little one, but it told me her control of showing her emotions was not absolute.
General, you are unwise to target those star systems. They are critical to...
She froze. When she spoke again, her voice was lower and tight with emotion.
Loss of those systems will severely damage our ability to defend against Rindaloo aggression. My leadership will view your action as the opening of unrestricted warfare. It will...
Whoa, I said, holding up my hands in case whoa didn't translate properly for her. We don't want a war. We don't want to escalate anything. We want to talk about the future. The shutdown of that wormhole network is only temporary. It will be restored soon. Your people wanted an answer. They got it. They also got a warning. I didn't need any assistance from Skippy to tell me the expression on her face was anguish and shock.
General Bishop, I fear you have killed us all. My people will never accept subjugation to humans. No amount of,
damn it, all we want is for your people to stop shooting at us. She shook her head.
You think your terms are generous, but they require us to stop being the hegemony. We would rather die than give up the destiny we believe awaits us. Our commanders will see the shutdown of one wormhole network as the beginning of the end for our society. They will strike back while we still can. The entire galaxy will suffer because of your rash action.
Oh, for... Take a breath, Joe, I reminded myself. I don't know anything about your... I caught my tongue before I could say wacko or sick or bullshit or any other judgmental word. Your religion, I said simply. Here's what I do know. If your people trigger the Sentinels, you will have zero chance of ever achieving your destiny.
General, have you informed my people that your action was only temporary?
No. We planned to let them think about the consequences for a while.
I urge you to deliver your message as soon as possible. You do not understand what you have done.
Well, shit, I said to myself. The flight to talk with the Maxalt starship captain was, I had thought, potentially interesting, but not important to our mission. Maybe I was wrong about that. Your people are so fragile, the loss of a couple star systems will collapse your entire society.
We are not fragile, she shot back at me, fire in her eyes.
She might be more open-minded and less of an asshole than most of her people, but she was still a rotten kitty.
We are strong.
Bullshit. If you were strong, you wouldn't consider destroying the entire freaking galaxy when all we're asking for is to talk. Damn it, why are you so obsessed about ruling the galaxy?
There must be order, she explained. Lack of order results in chaos. Chaos leads to needless death and destruction. Without the leadership of my people and the Rindaloo, each species would be fighting all the others with no rules restricting their conduct. One habitable world after another would be rendered uninhabitable from radiation or biological agents. Even with the two most senior species preventing complete chaos, there is too much fighting. Because the Rindaloo are too weak to control their clients. Someone must step forward and provide true leadership. It is the destiny of my people to fill the void of leadership. We can bring order and peace.
Right. Just not peace and order for everyone?
Some species who are not worthy and cannot contribute to a better future must be sacrificed for the common good.
As she said what was probably just propaganda she had beaten into her head as a child, her angry glare at me slipped a notch.
Maybe she didn't fully buy into the arrogant line of bullshit her culture was based on.
Huh, I laughed quietly. It sounds like not all of the people of the hegemony really believe in this destiny crap.
It is the truth.
Maybe. But you don't believe it. If you did trust this destiny, you would have faith that it will all work out in the end. Be patient and don't blow up the whole freaking galaxy just because of one setback.
Wait!
I held up a hand. Arguing about this is a waste of time for both of us. What should I do now so your idiot leaders don't do something stupid we will all regret? As Skippy would say, ugh. Damn, there is nothing I hate more than spending 1 second of my life worrying about the feelings of our enemies. Yet that was exactly what I had to do to prevent a disaster. And crap, Skippy was right. The ultimate objective of our mission was diplomatic, getting the Maxulks to negotiate with us. Also with the Rindaloo, since any two-way agreement would be unstable. Negotiations were all about squishy feelings like pride and greed and desire, even if we had to squash the desire of the Maxulks to squash us. To let the Kitty leadership know the sky was only temporarily falling, we followed the advice of Captain Iliath. We flew toward the star system that was the military center of the closest Maxulks region to transmit a message. Two messages. The official one from the United Nations we'd been carrying since we left Earth, and a new one from Captain Iliath. It would have been too risky for us to jump into that heavily defended star system, so we emerged on the outskirts of the system, dropped off a drone, and jumped away. The drone waited a couple minutes, then its powerful transmitter sent the two messages repeatedly until the antenna burned out after about half an hour. About 9 hours after the transmission began, it reached the inhabited world in the system. We know that 24 minutes after the message was received, a pair of Maxulk's destroyers jumped away, presumably to carry the message to the Kitty homeworld. The message from Iliath, which of course we reviewed very carefully before passing on to the enemy, basically urged her people to take us seriously and to not take any rash action until they explored all other options. Be patient, she preached, and we will surely achieve our destiny. I wonder where she got that from. The message from the UN was not a Joe Bishop special like, hey assholes, don't worry, we will turn the wormhole network back on soon, which we can do because awesomeness. The message came straight from the UN. I didn't screw with it at all. It was good enough, I guess. We had hit the Maxulks because we knew they were responsible for the attack against Earth. They had two options. Behind door number one is an escalating series of temporary wormhole network interruptions targeted to give the Rindaloo Coalition a tactical advantage. Behind door number two is an opportunity to engage in a negotiated settlement. To talk. Like adults. Like the superior beings the Maxulks claimed to be. Of course, the text of the message was carefully crafted to be professional, cautious, even conciliatory. The message was intended to begin ratcheting down tensions after the escalation of our recent campaign. The diplomats of the United Nations know a lot more than I do about how to make deals and encourage reluctant parties to the negotiating table. That's why I didn't alter the message in any way at all. I know a lot more about how the Maxulks are assholes all the way to the core, so I did add my own little personal note at the end of the transmission. It was short and to the point. They might think we are not serious about switching wormhole networks in their territory on and off, depending on their behavior. If they want to know for sure, I told them they could fuck around and find out. I did sign the note on behalf of the Merry Band of Pirates, and I used the word sincerely. That's gotta count for something. Okay, in case you think I'm back to my old tricks of being a reckless jackass, I did not add my own message without reviewing it with my command staff first. Strebik had asked, "What's the point of this message, sir?" "The kiddies might view humans as weak and stupid and think they can manipulate us," I explained. "The point is to remind them they also have to deal with the Merry Band of Pirates, and they can't get away with any of their usual bullshit with us." "In that case," she looked at the text of my message on her tablet, "I think you're being too subtle." Smythe had a different take on my Hallmark card-worthy love note to the kiddies. "Sir, are you sure this isn't going too far? You are practically daring them to test our resolve." "We might have to," he looked toward my closed office door,
The two of us were alone for such a sensitive discussion.
Crash. Another wormhole network.
I'm okay with that, I assured him. He raised an eyebrow. Despite my higher rank, he was a high-speed special operator and I am a doofus. Hopefully I had gotten past the hero worship phase, but he still intimidated me just a bit. I wanted his approval. It's pathetic, I know.
I meant, now that we have a way to...
My eyes darted to the door, confirming it was securely closed.
Simulate a crash, I'm not panicked about the idea. Command may want us to do it again, right?
Yes, sir, that's what concerns me. Command doesn't know the risk involved. They could treat the issue too casually. Every time we simulate a crash, we risk someone discovering what we are really doing.
The odds that an alien ship is within sensor range when we...
My concern is about the crew of this ship.
Oh, right. Crap.
So far, they have bought the official story. The people aboard this ship are smart, and they talk with each other. They talk with Skippy. His eyes automatically flicked to the ceiling. If someone asks the wrong question, or the right question, and our dodgy beer can doesn't lie convincingly...
Oh, shit.
Skippy?
Yeah, I was listening, he said as his avatar appeared on the desk. You want to know if the crew have been asking me how I crash a wormhole network?
Have they?
Of course, dum-dum. They also want to know why this time we have to visit every wormhole on the local network, while the first time we only had to contact one wormhole on each of the networks we planned to crash.
Oh, I have a bad feeling about this, I groaned, feeling sick.
What did you tell them?
That the information is classified, and anyway, it is much too complicated for filthy monkeys to understand. After I told them the second part, most people called me an asshole and ended the conversation.
Oh, thank God.
The relief I felt made me shiver.
Wow. You being an asshole is actually useful?
It's a gift, Joe, he said cluelessly.
Ugh, please don't tell me I did the wrong thing again. Dealing with you meat sacks is complicated enough without me needing to remember which lies to tell.
No, you did great.
Smythe, I hear you.
I will inform Command that, our ability to temporarily crash networks is itself temporary. That if we do it too many times, the overall network might lock Skippy out or some bullshit like that.
Does that sound good, Skippy?
Yes, because it is actually true, the beer can sniffed.
See?
I looked at Smythe.
Problem solved.
One problem solved, Smythe insisted. We came here and transmitted the UN's official message early because of fear the Maxulks would panic and lash out in a way that could be fatal to us all. Another network crash, even if they know ahead of time that it is temporary, risks the enemy feeling their autonomy is threatened.
Okay. Sure. Good point. Another thing we can talk with Command about, but...
I disagree, I said, wondering when was the last time I had said that to our star team leader. The kiddies are advanced beyond us in almost every way, but they are still biological beings. The first time something happens, it's shocking. When it happens again and again, it begins to lose its shock value. It becomes the new normal. They adapt to it.
You're saying the enemy could come to view temporary network crashes as a cost of doing business?
Crap. No. It shouldn't get that far. We can't. All I'm saying is they won't panic so much the next time.
Skippy, does that match what your model says about their psychology? That all meat sack beings get numb to events when they are no longer new?
Yes.
However, you should remember that my model of Maxulk's psychology has been less than accurate.
Gotcha.
Smythe, do you have any objection to me adding this note to the official statement?
No, sir. My concern is about our overall strategy.
So, as you know, I sent the note. What the kiddies thought of it, whether they even bothered to read it, we don't know. It did make me feel good to smack them in the face like that, which, in my job, means maybe I did the wrong thing. I hate this job sometimes.
When I walked into the galley that evening for dinner, everyone was wearing a t-shirt. The same t-shirt. The front had an image of a UNEF soldier wearing a standard set of powered armor, holding a rifle, faceplate swung up to see human eyes staring intently forward. Below the image was a logo. It read, "If you see me, diplomacy ain't working."
The crew applauded when Sims gave me a shirt that I pulled on over my uniform top. Sometimes I love this job.